You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Hello there. I'm Oswald Hoffman, and I'd like to greet you on the festival of our Lord's Resurrection. In the way Christians of the first century used to greet each other, one person would say, "Christ is risen," and the other would respond, "He is risen indeed." Let's try that, shall we? I'll say it to you, and you out there can join our studio group in the response.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Now, please stay tuned for our special Easter drama. It's a story titled, The Only Sign.
MNS, the Mediterranean News Service, presents Names in the News, an in-depth, behind-the-scenes look at people who are making things happen. For a unique opportunity to meet the newsmakers, stay tuned for Names in the News. And now, here's your host, Omar F. Shun.
Hi there, and welcome to Names in the News. When someone is making news, we of MNS will be there to let you know what's happening and to meet the people behind the news. Right now, we're in the magnificent city of Nineveh, capital of the great Assyrian Empire. During the past few weeks, this city has literally been shaken to its foundations by the comments of a man who claims to have spent 3 days in the belly of a fish at sea. And that man, Jonah, is sitting right here with us in our newsroom today. Jonah, welcome to Names in the News.
Thank you, Omar. I'm glad to be here.
Also with us is my good friend and associate, Hakeem Talafi. Hakeem, as usual, will be doing the color on today's broadcast and keeping us up to date on late-breaking events as they happen. Come on in here, Hakeem.
Thanks, Omar, and hi, everybody. We've got a great show for you today. I wish you could be with me today in this great city. It's hard to tell if the walls around Nineveh really are 100 feet high, as we've been told, but they are massive. And it was into this city, seemingly invulnerable to military attack, that our guest, Jonah from Israel, walked one day about 3 months ago. And since then, he has single-handedly turned Nineveh upside down.
Right you are, Hakeem. Now, Jonah, as I understand it, you're a long way from home.
Yes, Omar, about 400 miles. I come from a little town in North Galilee called Gath Hefer.
Exactly where is Gath Hefer?
Oh, it's about an hour's walk from Nazareth.
Well, tell me, Jonah, why would a man from a quiet little town in northern Israel come all the way to this busy metropolis in a nation that is anything but friendly?
Well, to really explain it, I think we'd better go back to the beginning. Back to a time when Jehovah God had a very special job for me, but I refused to do it.
And what was it God wanted you to do?
Come here and preach repentance to the people of Nineveh. But that, you see, didn't fit in with my plans, so I made up my mind to go in the opposite direction. I remember the day I left Gath Hefer. I stopped just long enough to say goodbye to an old friend.
Ben? Ben, it's me, Jonah.
Come in, Jonah. What brings you here today?
I just stopped to say goodbye.
Sit down, sit down. Now, what's all this about goodbye?
Well, I'm going away for a while. Just a little vacation to get my thoughts together.
Still struggling with going to Nineveh.
If God wants somebody to preach repentance to Nineveh, he'll have to get someone else.
I can understand your hesitation. The capital of Assyria is an awesome city, or so I've heard. And the Assyrians have a reputation for violence. I'd be scared myself to go and preach there.
Oh, no, I'm not scared. Those people deserve destruction, not mercy. I'm not about to go up there and preach God's judgment just to have them repent and be spared. Besides, I may just have been hearing voices. Could have been something I ate.
Maybe. Or it could have been God himself.
Well, whoever or whatever it was, it's going to take more than a voice to get me to go to Nineveh. Hey, keep an eye on my place while I'm gone, will you, Ben?
Be glad to, glad to. I just think you're making a bad, well, a serious...
mistake? Well, maybe.
But it doesn't affect anyone but me. It's my life. I'm going to live it the way I think I should.
Good luck, Jonah.
And after you left your hometown of Gath Hefer, what then?
I headed for Joppa on the Mediterranean coast.
Great little town, eh, Jonah? We were there a couple of years ago. Omar, remember that seafood restaurant down by the docks?
Indeed I do, Hakim. Jonah, how long did you stay in Joppa?
Just long enough to arrange for passage out of there. My goal was to get as far away from Nineveh as I could. Everything seemed to fall right into place. Pardon me, but I need some ticket information.
Be with you in just a minute, as soon as I make an announcement.
Take your time.
The Phoenician Queen, bound for Cyprus with intermediate stops at Tyre and Sidon, is now ready for boarding at Pier Number 3. The Greek ship Athena has been delayed by weather in Crete and is expected to arrive next week.
You get to do it all here, don't you?
Yeah, small terminal. I do everything but sail the ships. What can I do for you?
Well, I need to get away for a while. You got anything going long distance?
That ship over there on Pier 5 is bound for Tarshish. Leaves in a couple of hours.
Tarshish?
Yeah, silver mining town in Spain. That far enough away for you?
Sounds good. Can you book me?
Sure. You want first class, second class, third class, or would you be interested in our special shekel saving fare?
First class. I'm going to run away from God. I might as well do it upright.
Beg pardon?
Just talking to myself.
This be cash, charge, or government travel voucher?
Cash.
Say, you ain't a clergyman, are you? We got a special discount for clergymen.
No, I'm not a clergyman.
Business trip?
Strictly personal.
Well, here's your ticket. Hope you enjoy it. Actually, Tarshish is miserable this time of year.
Pier 5?
Leaves in about 2 hours. Can't understand why anybody'd want to go to Tarshish anytime.
Once again, this is your host, Omar Rafshoon, on Names in the News. We're in the Assyrian capital of Nineveh, and we're talking to Jonah, the man whose messages have literally turned this city around. Jonah, how did you feel when you got on that ship headed for Tarshish?
Oh, very relieved, Omar. I felt like I'd really taken a hold of myself and set a new direction for my life. As a matter of fact, I felt free of a lot of the old constraints and was really enjoying the voyage.
Hey, mate, how many times you make this run to Tarshish?
No, 15, 20 times, maybe. Why?
No, just curious. It's more like 30 for me. Getting to be a real milk run, it is.
What do you make of our passenger over there?
Him? He don't bother me as long as he stays out of the way.
It's like he's coming over this way.
Gentlemen, a beautiful afternoon.
My first trip to Tarshish. I'm just a passenger. The name is Jonah.
Aye.
Well, there's nothing like salt breeze to clear the mind and give you a new lease on life.
Look at those clouds, mate. Never seen them build up quite that fast before.
Aye, dark, too. Could be quite a storm.
Well, if we're in for a bit of a storm, I think I'll head below. I'm sure you gentlemen can handle whatever comes along.
Yeah, it must be nice to be a tourist.
We'd better heave, too. Never seen a storm blow up quite that fast.
And quite a storm it was, too. Hakim, you talked to some of the crew who were on that ship. What was their reaction to the situation?
Well, Omar, those men were seasoned sailors. They'd been around the sea for many years, but when I talked to them several days after the storm, they were still quite shaken. During the tempest itself, they must have been scared to death. To a man, they said it was the worst squall of any kind they'd seen in all their years of sailing. It was a fight for life all the way. Here's the way they described it to me.
Here, come on. This is the last of the cargo. Here, get it up on deck and over the side.
Is everyone accounted for?
Yeah, all except our passenger, that Jonah fella. He may be down below. You want me to check, Captain?
Get him up here. We're going to have a prayer meeting. I want everyone, including him, up here. His God may be the right one. Go get him.
Aye, aye, Captain.
All right, men, quiet. Obviously, this storm is too big for us to handle. As your captain, I know that, and you know that. This is what religion is for, to take care of the things we can't handle. Right?
Right.
Next voyage, I'll be sure the chaplain comes along. We've got to take care of this one on our own.
Let's abandon ship!
Shut up! We're going to pray. Everyone pray to his own God. Give it all you've got. Maybe someone aboard this tub can get through. I want to get out of this mess just as much as you do. All right, everybody pray.
Oh, break ye my, save us, save us, ye my, save us.
Oh, Ashtaroth, hear us,
Ashtaroth. Oh,
I hope somebody somewhere is listening to all this.
Jonah, wake up.
What's happening?
Get up, now. The captain wants to see you.
Oh, Ashtaroth, hear us,
Ashtaroth.
Quiet. That's enough. Quiet. I said quiet now. It just occurred to me that this whole thing may be the fault of someone on board. We may have a jinx with us. Someone who has offended his God. It's time to find out who that guilty person might be. The casting of the lot should point to the man. If there is such a one among us who's brought on this calamity.
Well, if you want to start with our passenger, Captain, here he is. Asleep in the hold, he was.
Aye, bring him in.
I'm sorry, I must have fallen asleep. I didn't even realize that.
That we were bucking a bit of a storm? Join the circle. Oh, whatever providence there be, guide the casting of this lot to determine the one whose offense has brought us this disaster. This is it.
Oh, hey.
Our passenger it is. You owe us an explanation, sir.
All right. My name is Jonah. I am a Hebrew, a man who worships the God Jehovah, who made the sea and the dry land. Right now, I'm running away from him.
Running? What do you mean, running away?
Just throw me overboard, and I'm certain the storm will stop. I'm the reason this calamity has come upon you.
Tell the man to keep on those oars. I've never thrown a man overboard before, and I won't do it now.
No, it's no good, Captain. We can't make any headway against the storm. The ship's about to break apart.
Very well, then. Everybody on deck, hold on for your lives and bring that fellow Jonah with you. Whatever your crime, Jonah, may the sea swallow you and cause the wrath of your God to cease. Into the water with him, men.
One, two, three, cheese!
Believe it.
Look, the sea is like glass.
On your knees, men. Whoever that man's God is, he must be the true God.
Did you see that? Did you see it? Oh,
see what?
The big fish. I've never seen anything like it. It came out of the water. Now, I swear it swallowed that fellow we just threw overboard.
I didn't see anything.
I saw a big fish swallow that Jonah. I swear it.
Hey, we saw it too.
Jonah, I'm sure all of our listeners are wondering, as I am right now, just what it's like to be in the belly of a fish. Could you tell us about it?
Well, it's a very difficult thing to describe, Omar. If you can imagine being dead, that's about as close as I can come to describing it. Besides, it's not really the most important part of the story.
Omar, let me break in here. A bulletin has just been handed me that the king of Nineveh has issued a proclamation ordering a time of repentance and prayer for all citizens of this city. Jonah's messages have penetrated this town from top to bottom.
Your story about being swallowed by a fish may be more important than you thought, Jonah.
But that's not my message, Omar. I preach the judgment of God against this city, a city that was riddled with wickedness and rebellion, just like I was when I got on that ship. I didn't deserve a second chance, but God brought me out of that fish and gave me that second opportunity. You see, it's important for us to realize that when we turn to God in genuine sorrow and repentance, he can actually bring life out of death.
Well, you really believe that, don't you?
Well, God did it for me, Omar. He's done it for Nineveh. And he can do it for any of us.
Well, it looks like we're out of time here on Names in the News. We'd like to thank our special guest, Jonah, for being with us. You'll have to decide for yourselves whether what we've heard is just another fish story or the true account of a miracle of God. From our vantage point inside the city of Nineveh, with Jonah and these people, the conclusion is clear. Now, on behalf of my associate, Hakeem Talafi, and the entire Names in the News crew, this is your host, Omar Rashoon, wishing you a good day. This is MNS, the Mediterranean News Service.
And now, with a special message titled Breakthrough, in commemoration of our Lord's resurrection, here again is Dr. Oswald Hoffman.
Jesus Christ said to a generation that was always looking for a sign, some remarkable proof that God is still God, "There shall no sign be given to this generation except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man shall be in the bowels of the earth for those days and nights." People understood Jonah, but they had trouble understanding the Son of God. Jonah was a prophet of righteousness and judgment. He proclaimed repentance, and people understand that kind of language. The city of Nineveh repented. Jonah was not prepared for the repentance of that great city to which he preached judgment. He wanted to see the city destroyed. He became angry, and the story ends with his anger. There are a lot of people like that today. They can understand Jonah, but they have trouble understanding the Son of God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, suffered as people suffer. During the last 24 hours before crucifixion, he was betrayed by one of his own people. He was captured and led away like a common criminal. He was mocked, spit upon, crowned with a crown of thorns, and mercilessly beaten. He was rejected, denied, and deserted. The blows which nailed his hands to the cross were painful, but they were not the most painful blows he received. His pain was to suffer unjustly as he did, never having done a thing to deserve this kind of treatment, except that he obeyed his Father from beginning to end. That was enough to make him cry out on his cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Behind that statement is another agony, the deepest of all. He suffered as people can be expected to suffer for the wrongs they have committed. The prophet said he would bear all the sins of the world and take them into his own heart. The lightning of God flashed, and it shriveled his son to a cinder. The Father who sent him exacted this terrible price from his own son. Is it any wonder that he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Everything in that scene is real. It is not just a drama. It is real life, and it is also real death. It is death as it comes to people who have no hope. Still, he hoped in God his Father. With one stentorian shout, "It is finished," he said quietly, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And he died. They laid him into a grave on Friday, and he rose again from the dead on Sunday. Because he did everything in complete obedience to his Father, by the glory of his Father, he was raised from the dead and declared to be the Son of God with power. Because he was obedient even unto death, and that the death of a common criminal, his Father gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. People at the end of their rope without hope, still can turn to God. In fact, it is often people at the end of their rope, without hope, who are brought to repentance. By the kindness of God, anyone can be brought to repentance. That takes some doing on God's part. If there were no hope at all, there would be no repentance. If there were no God at all, there would be no need for repentance. If there were no possibility of turning from our own way to God, nothing would be left except death. Death stared Jonah himself in the face. God saved him in a remarkable way. Most remarkable of all, the prophet whom God saved in that remarkable way preached repentance, and the whole city repented. They found God, or rather God found them, with the grace and kindness that bring people to repentance. Only the prophet was left finally unrepentant himself. After everything that happened to him, he still could not believe that it had happened. He was irritated right to the end and went his own way, while the whole city turned from its way to God. The grace of God works in remarkable ways. In his grace, God sends his Son to take the sins of the world and to be crucified for the life of the world. God stretches out the arms of his Son on a cross and takes the sin of the whole world into his own body. St. Paul said, "It is in the body of his flesh, through death, that the whole world is reconciled to God." By his death, a world is forgiven, and by his resurrection, a world is given life again. Easter means life. Life from God. It is forgiveness for sin, and it calls for repentance. It is life in the place of death, which calls for faith in God as he has disclosed himself in his Son, Jesus Christ. It is life eternal, which is all glory with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. There shall be no sign given to this generation other than the sign of the prophet Jonah. It is the sign of death and resurrection. It is the sign of Jesus Christ, crucified for the sins of the world and raised from the dead. He is the first fruits of a great harvest that is even now being brought in by the grace and glory of God that everyone can see in the face of his Son, Jesus Christ. It is bad news that even the Son of God suffered for sin. And it is good news that he suffered for the sins of the world, paying the price of redemption, the price of his own life's blood. It is bad news for everyone who cannot see what he did there on the place of the skull. And it is good news to everyone who believes he is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ told his people to go. He said, "Go into all the world. Go, make disciples of all nations. Go, and I will be with you always, even to the end of this age of good news." They obeyed him. They knew him, and they obeyed him. That first generation of Christians believed Jesus was alive. They saw him alive with their own eyes. They talked with him after he was raised from the dead, and even ate with him. Most important of all, they obeyed him. 60 generations or so have passed since that time. Today there are millions of people who believe that Jesus Christ is alive. His promised presence did not stop with Peter, James, John, or Paul. Every day, people are being won throughout the world to a living faith in a living Lord whom they have not seen with their own eyes, but in whom they still believe and jump for joy. I myself accept the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah emerged from the belly of the whale, so the Son of God emerged from the belly of the earth. He is alive, and he is Lord. I believe that the word of Christ is true. He does command the faith of people, and his promise is sure and true to all who put their faith in him, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. I've seen the transforming power of the living Lord in the lives of people. They come alive again with faith in him and with love toward him. As he loves, so they love. It is the sign of the living Lord. I've seen people who are able to forgive under the most difficult circumstances because they know themselves to be forgiven by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. I've seen reconciliations for the sake of Christ, which came straight from the heart of God. I've seen people make up who had not spoken to each other for years, all because of Christ. In each case, someone struck by the power and love of Christ went to someone else and said, "Please forgive me for whatever wrong I have done to you." Someone else forgave, and long years of bitterness were forgotten. We proclaim Christ crucified, but we do not proclaim a dead Christ. We proclaim a living Christ. He has the power to forgive, and he forgives. Even on his cross, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." That's love, as love was meant to be. It is the love of God himself. It is the life of God at work in the lives of people. It is good news. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.
Christ is arisen, from death to be risen. So let us all rejoice and sing, Christ of our salvation brings.
You have been listening to a special Easter presentation of the Lutheran Hour, featuring a dramatic story titled The Only Sign, and a special Easter homily by Dr. Oswald Hoffman titled Breakthrough. As a memento of this program, we should like very much to send you an attractive pin, suitable for wearing on jacket, blouse, shirt, or tie. The pin, which says, "Try Jesus," will help you to witness to all whom you meet that the risen Christ is your personal Lord and Savior. To obtain your free Try Jesus pin, please write to this program, The Lutheran Hour, St. Louis, Missouri, 63139. For a complimentary copy of today's script, please write to the same address. We cordially invite you to join us again next week at this time for a regular presentation of the Lutheran Hour with a message by Dr. Oswald Hoffman titled, More Than Conquerors. The Lutheran Hour was pre-recorded for release at this time and came to you under the sponsorship of the Media Services Division of the International Lutheran Layman's League.